It's tea time again. You are welcome to join me around the table as we feast from God's Word. It is our prayer here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church that this podcast will teach, encourage, and admonish us ladies to be the wives and mothers that He has designed us to be. May He overflow our cups today from His Word. Hello there, ladies. I hope you all are having a great day. So, we've talked about the sanguine and the choleric temperaments, remember? So, I wonder how many of you have thought about other people in your life that may have that temperament, and maybe you do. But I found some interesting statistics that I wanted to review with you before we start with the other two temperaments today. So, the choleric only is about it's the smallest in the general population of only 12%. The general population, only 3% is being female. So the choleric is known as the leader or doer, remember? So only 12% of the general population and only 3% being female. So we definitely need some leaders in our society, right? In our churches. So the melancholy temperament ends up being around 41% is what I read at the general population. So that's the majority. 43% in society and 37.5% are male and 35.5% are female. So these are the thinkers, okay? The thinkers and the clerics are the leaders and the doers. So the sanguines, which are happy-go-lucky all the time, always have a crowd around them usually, they are 1/3 usually of the general population, 34% female, I'm sorry, 34% male and 32% female. So these are known as the world artists, entertainers, and athletes, so they're known as the talkers. The phlegmatic are only made up of 14% usually in general population, so the males are only about 5%. So these are known as the watchers. So the choleric is the leader or doers. The melancholy is the thinkers, the sanguines are the talkers, and the phlegmatics are the watchers. So we'll go more in depth with the melancholy today. All right, so 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 18 says, "But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleaseth him." So we see out of that verse that God has made us different for a reason. God wants each of us to have each temperament, different temperament for a reason, for the church to be what it needs to be. Just like it talks about that every part of the body in Christ is important and is needed. The head is not above the feet or any other part of the body of Christ. We're all important in the work of the Lord. So we need to look at that in our perspective of training our children. 1 Corinthians 12:18 again says, "But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him." And so he created us to be what we are as it pleaseth him. And so that's what we need to remember, is that God made us according to his will. So the last two temperaments, like I said, that we've not spoken about yet, they have to battle their minds. So the sanguine, like I said, is emotionally driven. Remember us talking about that? They're emotional people. And phlegmatic and melancholy, they are both mind-driven. And choleric is will-driven. So we all are driven by different things. But today, I want us to look specifically at the gifted and talented melancholic temperament. So this temperament battles their mind the most of any of the others. They suffer under the delusion that they are inferior. They have an inferior complex. So remember this, if one of your children you think has this temperament. So they feel inferior, which should be quite contrary to the truth of who they really are. They learn to escape from reality by living in a made-believe fantasy world. That's how they deal with thinking they're inferior, that they pretend they're a princess, in other words, or somebody else. They want to be somebody else all the time. They often have imaginary friends to help them deal with reality. Their true talents can be more easily brought out in another role. So in other words, for example, if they're playing a part in a play or pretending to be somebody else, they're acting out another character, and that's easier for them than actually being themselves, to put themselves out in society as their own character. I hope that makes sense. So they can be really good in a dramatic setting because they don't seem to be dramatic, but they are, because they cannot deal with who they are because they feel like they're not good enough. So let's look at their strengths today as a melancholic person. So they are usually very faithful friends, okay? They don't have as many friends as like the sanguine, that they have a smaller circle of friends because it takes them a while to trust somebody to be their friend. So it takes them a while to warm up to somebody because they're more introverted. But once they have a friend, they are true to that friend, very loyal. They are the best of friends. They are great servants as well. They have a servant's heart. So when they're playing, they want to help you. They want to do something to help their mama. They always want to pick up something from maybe their smaller sibling to help them. They are great at whatever they do, because if they do it, they're going to be greater. They're not going to do it because they are so hard on themselves. They're very analytical. That means they investigate and study everything. So they can be somewhat like the phlegmatics, like they're watchers, because they analyze everything. They analyze everybody. They are self-sacrificing. So in order to do things right, they will even self-sacrifice to do what they need to do for it to be right. I think about Martha, and that she was going to have that meal for the Lord Jesus as just right. And she was going to complain about it because Mary was at the feet of Jesus because she was worshiping him. She was going to be critical and analytical of her, watching her. Okay, why is Mary doing that? What about me, Lord? And she was self-sacrificing, but she was judgmental, okay? Melancholy children are judgmental, and adults. They're very dependable. I'm going to try to stay with their strengths, excuse me. But they are very responsible people, very dependable. Very dependable at an early age. They are great with structure. They want their blocks. They want their toys in a certain order because they are structured children. And it frustrates them if they don't have the structure. Okay, if their younger sibling comes and messes up their toys and they have it in the order that they want, that's frustrating for them. They're very conservative. Later when they get older, you'll learn that they're frugal, very smart with money. So they have a lot of strengths. They're ready and prepared to do whatever they're going to do. Wherever they go, if it's your little girl, they may have everything in their pocketbook ready to go because they are preparers. They're passionate, like I talked about being with friends. They're passionate about their friends. They love deeply. They're gifted. Very intelligent in school. They're gifted in art many times. They're some of the most creative people. They do things right and with great thought. They're very detail-oriented people. So this is their motto before we go into their weaknesses. A place for everything and everything in its place. So they have to have a place for everything. And if it's not in their place that it needs to be, it frustrates them. So let's look into their weaknesses. I've already mentioned a few, right? But okay, so a melancholy person is self-centered. They have a big ego. They're prone to be a Pharisee and look at other people and down at their faults instead of looking at their own. They're proud. But you know, I was thinking about this. You don't think of a melancholy person when you first meet them as a proud person. But this is a reason why I say they're proud. It's because they think of themselves as inferior, and they think too much of themselves. So they're constantly thinking of how they can make themselves better because they don't think they're good enough. So they're always thinking, I can't do this. I needed to be better. When you put that pronoun, I, all the time, me, those pronouns, then you are proud because you're not thinking about who God made you to be and who He can give you the strength to be. So also another thing is they're pessimistic. They are negative because they analyze so many things and they're so much of a perfectionist. They're inflexible and stubborn. This is the way it is, or you're not right. So they get bogged down really easily. So they can get frustrated and be moody as a child. They can have mood swings. They can be suspicious of other people. Like, what are they doing in my space? Are they? And they get a little older, like in middle school years, they can be suspicious, like, are they talking about me? Are they looking at me? Are they laughing at me? Just because somebody looks at another way and starts laughing and then glances at you, they're talking about me. So they're suspicious and they have like a chip on their shoulder because since they're so negative towards themselves, they think everybody else is in that. So they think too much of themselves. They're also revengeful. They can easily be bitter. And I tell you the reason why I say this is because they are so good to other people and so of a perfectionist to help other people. Whenever they do something for somebody or give them a gift, it is very thought out, very thoughtful and passionate in doing things, that whenever that person they do something good to, or that person they're very, very loyal to, if they are not who they think the melancholy person, if that family or friend is not who they think they should be towards them, they can be bitter easily because they don't understand why they're not the friend to them that they are to the other person, if that makes sense. So they can get bitter because they don't understand why they've been treated differently than how they treat the other person. They can spiral into depression more easily. They can have self-doubt, which, like I said before, is a form of pride. It's the Lord that works in us, not we ourselves. They worry a lot. Bless their hearts, they just worry about everything. So they're really hard on themselves. They need words of affirmation often. So if you have a child that you think has a melancholy personality, you're going to need to pump them up and give them words of affirmation. But as a warning, as parents, this is a form of pride. They feel deep pride because they need that constant gratification. So remember, give them words of affirmation in the biblical sense. So in other words, give them verses that you're fearfully and wonderfully made. Look what God has done in your life that you can draw that pretty picture. God has given you that talent to use that for Him. So in other words, put it back on the Lord giving them that talent. Not that they're wonderful in themselves, but that God is the one that gives them that talent. So they can put that back on that the Lord is the one that gives them this strength. And they're sensitive people. They're overly conscious of everything that needs to be nearly perfect in their environment. And that is not reality. It's like I said before, they live in a false reality. If you're a parent of a melancholy child, you will need to bring them back into reality. Give them a reality check. This is not reality. No, life is not perfect. Part that we're going to have disappointments, but the Lord can help us through this. So you have to remind them of these things. They are nitpickers, okay? Making something really small into something huge. So you ever heard that terminology that they're making a mountain into a molehill? Okay, that's a melancholy child. Something that's so small, maybe they get real upset about their toys getting out of place or that somebody hurt them when they're in school. It's really not that big of a deal. Bring them back to reality. You have we've got, the Lord's given you a great home. We've got food on our table. We've got this, we've got that. You need to bring them back to reality. We need to thank God for what we've got and not think about the negative. So it talks about in Matthew chapter 7, verse 3 through 5. And why beholdest thou the mote that's in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that's in thine own eye? Or wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote of out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. So these are great verses to read, and if you're melancholic, to remember that sometimes we can be pharisaical, and that don't think about what everybody else has their weaknesses, but consider your own weakness first before we nitpick other people. If we have a chip on our shoulder, or we look at other people. So this is another thing. If you have a child that's melancholy, that they need to learn. Remember I told you they battle their mind the most of any other temperament? They need to learn to renew their minds daily after salvation. So remember I told you with every temperament, we need to encourage their strengths and to mold their character, right, as a parent. But after salvation, whenever they have the Holy Spirit indwelling in them, these verses are important to a melancholy child for you to bring out to them in their life and help them memorize. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Let me read that to you. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Transformed. That means metamorphosis or changed by the renewing of your mind. That means to repair or to make new of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So it's the will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. Okay? Be in reality, soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. So that verse is good to renew your mind daily. And also Ephesians 4, 23 and 24. I love these scriptures. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on a new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So we need to renew our spirit and our mind daily. They will help. This will help whenever your children get older and they have friend hurt. Whenever they start dealing with their mind and that I can't do this, or self-pity, or and that their mind is going around like spaghetti noodles. That you need to remind them, bring them back to reality, that they need to renew their spirit and their mind in Christ. And you need to remind them whenever they're going through hurtful situations. Whenever your children go through puberty, this is a hard time for any temperament. But when they have to go through the friend hurt, they will not understand how friends hurt them, and because they're loyal to them. You have to remember to bring them back to reality that man will hurt you, but you have to remember that God will never fail you. People will fail us, but God will never fail us. And remind them that they're made in the image of God whenever they have self-doubt, and that you're doubting how God made you. Like I said before, they need to be brought back from the fantasy world and reality. Okay, we're going to end today's podcast with that and learning how we need to renew our minds. And as our children get older and after they get saved, they need to remember to renew their mind in Christ each and every day. And that's the same with every temperament, right? So all these temperaments have a common ground that we need Christ to help us. But I know I didn't finish today with a melancholy temperament, and I'll tell you the reason why. I have a melancholy temperament as one of my temperaments, and so the Lord has put on my heart to help you to testify how the Lord has helped me in a certain area, parenting the girls. And so next week, that's what I'm going to share with you. It's just some things, some tips if you do have a melancholy personality, how to not get bogged down on such detailed things and to trust the Lord to help us each and every day. So that's what we all need, isn't it? But I pray and hope that this has been a source of help to you today.